Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night Bible class. Sir? I'm sorry, Wednesday. I'm 3 days ahead, 4 days ahead. So last week, we mentioned what we were going to talk about, what we were going to study tonight. Does anyone remember what the lesson was, tonight's lesson was going to be about? Many are called and few are chosen. So what I'd like for us to do, the lesson will be taken out of Matthew chapter 22. And once again, keep in mind what Jesus says, that for many are called and few are chosen. What do we think about when we hear these words? Many are called and few are chosen. I'll tell you what goes through my mind. It almost seems like God is going to pick and choose who's saved and who's not. That's what it sounds like to me, but that's not what it means. So many are called and few are chosen. So let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. I'd like to read verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 16. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, or invited to the wedding, and they would not come." Verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are invited or bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth or angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8, then saith he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not, or those that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came into see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then saith the king to the servants, "Bind him hands and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man." Going back to chapter 22, verse 1, we see here that Jesus is speaking to them in parable. And he's using the example of a king. That's real easy to understand, right? What is the king doing? His son is getting married, and he's going to have a wedding for his son. But before we go into this lesson, I'd like to begin with this, because I think that it has a lot to do with tonight's lesson. We see that in Matthew chapter 3 that John the Baptist is preaching, and he's saying to repent in those days, Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we see here that John is preparing the way for whom? For Christ. Last week we read the book of Malachi chapter 3. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, talks about John. And that John would appear. And would also says that he'd be preaching for them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the time was coming. The time was near that Jesus and his kingdom was going to be established. And so John the Baptist is preaching this. We see now, going back to Matthew chapter 22, that Jesus now, after John has prepared the way, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven. And so he's talking to them and saying that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. So now the son, the one that was prophesied about, that we read about in Malachi, he is talking about the kingdom and saying that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. Now let's go into the lesson. So we see here that, and what I wanted us to see is when John the Baptist came to preach, to prepare the way for Christ, and when Christ is speaking here, who were they directing these words to? To the Jews. He was directing these words to them. And so, because they knew that this Christ was coming, it was prophesied. And so now we see Jesus speaking to them personally. We see that Jesus is now there in human form, and he's speaking to them in parable. And he gives us again in parable, he says, that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. And so we see here that he says that there's a king. His son is about to get married, and he invites these people to come to the wedding. Who are these people that Jesus is inviting? The Jews. And so we're starting to get a glimpse of what it means for many are called and few are chosen. And another thought that came to my mind is, we might talk about it later in the lesson, on the day of Pentecost, when the church is established, how many Jews were in Jerusalem? Because we see that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples, his apostles, to not leave, but to stay what? Stay in Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 1, talks about that as the day of Pentecost was fully here. The apostles got up and they preached. They preached this Jesus Christ. And they all heard in their own language. And in chapter 2 of Acts, it talks about that there was Jews in Jerusalem of every nation. So, and this is the point that I'd like to make. They were celebrating a feast. They had to be in Jerusalem. This is the time that God chose for the church to be established on the day of Pentecost. And so how many Jews do we guesstimate were there on that day? I mean, I kind of did a little bit of research, and I don't know, you know, I don't think that the number that they were saying that these Jews were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, it says that there was about 100,000. But if you read Acts chapter 2, it tells you that there was Jews from every nation. I don't know if you remember the class that Brother Brown was teaching on. He showed us a map. He says, you know, all these places, all these cities, they had to travel where? To Jerusalem. So there was Jews. There was even Jews in Egypt. There was Jews all over, but they had to come to Jerusalem. And so the point is this, that Jesus came, John the Baptist was preparing the way for Christ, preaching to the Jewish nation. Jesus Christ here is preaching to the Jews. And so we see here, and also another thought, when God blesses Abraham, and that's found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. When God blesses Abraham, he tells him that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is the point I'd like to make here. Verse 17 in Genesis chapter 22. God tells Abraham, because you obeyed. And this was the time when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. But God said, I know that you believe in me. I know your faith. And because you have obeyed, I will bless thee. But we see here that he says that they will be like what? Stars of the sky, stars of the heaven. And your descendants will be like the sand which is upon the seashore. And so we see the numbers, we can just imagine the number of Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. So let's continue with Matthew chapter 22. And so the king has invited, and we said that those that were invited were the Jews. But let's continue with verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entered them spitefully and slew them. So the invitation was put out for them to come to the wedding. What did the invitees think about this wedding? Each one had what? Something else to do. They were busy with their own lives, busy with their business, with their livestock, with whatever they have going on in their lives. But the invitation was made. And so this is why when I read these, you know, when I read the verse that we're studying tonight, that's why it kind of takes me to think that seems like God is picking and choosing. But that's not what this verse means in verse 14. And so we see here, the invitation has been made. Verse 8 says, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the invitees, those that we gave an invitation to, are not willing to come to the wedding. Let's invite others to the wedding. Bring them to the wedding. The invitation is open. If we read Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets. And he asked a question, whom do you say that I am? And Peter answers, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon that rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom. And the reason I wanted to mention Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, because we see that these keys, we see that the key that Jesus is talking about with Peter is opening and making that invitation, because we see here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 2, Jesus compares this parable with the kingdom of heaven. So the invitation is made. Jesus Christ is going to establish his church, and the invitation is made to the Jews first. And so this is one of the keys that is used on the day of Pentecost when they preach to the Jews. And also, it also in Acts chapter 2, when Peter and the rest of the apostles, when they preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, how many obeyed? What does it say there? How many obeyed? 3,000. What did we guess? How many Jews were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? I'm sorry? Yes. I want to say that there was way more than 100,000. But, you know, only 3,000 obeyed the gospel. Only 3,000 accepted that invitation. Many are called, and few are chosen. What's the other key? We see it in Acts chapter what? Where's the other key used? In Acts chapter 10, when Peter's preaching to Cornelius, when he sees that vision, and he is told, you know, go look for Peter. He's at Simon the tanner's house, and he will tell you what you need to do. Cornelius is not a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. But we see that the other key is used to enter into the kingdom, which is what? Which is the church. And so Jesus here is making that comparison, because he says that the kingdom of heaven is like this king. And so the invitation has been made to the Jews. And the invitation and the door has been opened, because if we think about it, and I think that Brother Obed has spoken about this, and he says, well, if he mentions keys, a key is used for what? To open a door. That's to enter into the Lord's church, the one he established on the day of Pentecost. And so in Acts chapter 10, we read about Peter and Cornelius, and his family obeyed the gospel. Acts chapter 5 also mentions a number of Jews that obeyed the gospel on that day. How many obeyed? Acts chapter, I believe it's Acts chapter 5. How many? It's either Acts chapter 4 or Acts chapter 5. 5,000 obeyed. So we see, compared to the number, that the gospel was preached to, how many obeyed? Many are called, and few are chosen. We see that going back to Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, the king is among the guests, but he sees one that what? That doesn't belong there. He says, you're not wearing the garments, you know, for a wedding. How did you come in? And does the king command to happen to this person? What his men to do? What? Take him out. He doesn't belong in this in the kingdom. He doesn't belong in this wedding. He was not. He didn't come through the door. That also reminds me of what if we. In Matthew also talks about that many on that day will say, but Lord, you know, we healed, you know, in your name. We did this, you know, we helped these people in your name. And what's Jesus replied to them? Depart from me, ye that do what? Iniquity, lawlessness. And then he says, for I never what? I never knew you. This is what's happening. This is what the king sees within the wedding. Someone that was not invited, but was among the invitees. And so we see here that many are called and few are chosen. What are our thoughts about this? What is Jesus trying to explain to them here with this parable? And what he says in verse 14, that many are called and few are chosen. Any comments? Brother Carlos? Okay. Also, because we're running out of time, Matthew, there's Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Because this also, Jesus uses this illustration. We see here, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And so there, there is a gate. This illustration is used as a gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way. So it makes it easy. What he's trying to explain is easy to go into that gate, because broad is that gate and easy to go to. And he's talking about the world and everything that is in this world. It's easy for us to fall prey to these things. And listen to what the last part of verse 13 says. And many be there which be which go in thereat. So there will be many that go to that wide gate. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he makes two comparisons. He talks about the wide gate, which is easy to go through, but then there's what? The narrow gate, which is what? It's going to take some work to go through that gate. But he says, narrow is the way which leadeth to life. That's the gate that leads to life. That's what Jesus is illustrating in Matthew chapter 22. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother Obed. Any other comments? Brother Phil. And so there will not be an excuse, you know, for us to say, well, the invitation wasn't made to me. I didn't receive the invitation to that wedding. You know? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Judy. Yes, ma'am. We talked about running that race. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, that, you know, we have to qualify to run the race. We've qualified to run the race, but we have to reach the finish line. Yes, ma'am. And I always mention this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You know, the opportunity is given to everyone. You know, it's whether we accept it or we reject it. And I'm talking about God's word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to his word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants from each one of us, to come to repentance. But once again, either we accept the call, we accept the invitation, or we reject it. It's as simple as that. Many are called, and few are chosen. You know, and it just kind of makes me think about there used to be a commercial on TV talking about the armed forces, and it said that the Marines were the few, the proud, you know, the Marines. But it made sure to say that there was few, you know. They're proud to be a Marine. And it's just the thought, you know, that there's only a few. And so what path, what gate do we choose to go to? Are we willing to accept that invitation that was made by the King? Jesus is already preaching, like we read in Matthew chapter 22, that the kingdom is like in a king. This comes to happen on the day of Pentecost. That gate was open. Those doors, those keys opened that door into the kingdom. Are we willing to enter into that kingdom? And we've got 5 minutes. The last thing I'd like for us to do is to open your songbooks to 671. I think that this hymn talks about that invitation and that feast, that it's ready. The invitation is made. I'd like for us to sing, let's go ahead and sing the first, third, and fourth verses. And after this, we'll end with a closing prayer. And please pay close attention to the words that we're singing here. Verses 1, 3, and 4. All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shall be richly blessed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine, tomorrow may be in fervent. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. Amen. Thank you for your attendance tonight. Let us end with a closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Father, for giving us the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Help us, Father, to hear the invitation, Father, to accept the invitation, to be faithful unto you, Father. We know that all these spiritual blessings you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us, Father, as we depart. Be with those that were mentioned tonight, those that are sick and are in need of your healing hand. Be with them. For those that are traveling, be with them as well. And those that aren't here with us tonight, you know the reasons why, Father. We ask you to be them, be with them, and bless them. Be with us to this night, Father, and to this week and to our lives. Forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.